Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
The 34th Amendment to the Irish Constitution allowed for same-sex marriage in this jurisdiction, and other countries and states have made very similar changes in recent years. So you can marry if you're homosexual and you can marry if you're heterosexual. What if your legal status, what is your legal status when one of you is gay and one of you is straight? This was the backdrop of a groundbreaking federal court case in Canada last month. Athena Portokalidis is a lawyer who represents the couple in question and joins us now on News Talk. To ask more, Athena, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Very well. So tell me about the couple. What was the situation between them?
So basically, you kind of summarized it well. It's a couple who one partner identifies as homosexual, the other partner identifies as straight. They formed a relationship, and the homosexual partner is located in Canada and wanted to sponsor the other partner who's overseas for permanent residence in Canada. And the type of application that allows for that to happen basically requires that the couple demonstrate the genuineness of their relationship, through providing documentary evidence, that sort of thing. So the couple had attempted to do that. Unfortunately, wasn't successful the first time around. So they tried to appeal the initial refusal. That was also not successful. So the juncture at which this federal court decision came out was, appealing the appeal. And thankfully, that one was successful. So,
okay. As I look at this, I'm wondering where the court is coming from, and I'm kind of thinking that are they seeing this in terms of, one of those kind of green card marriages from years ago, where somebody would just want to get a green card and would have essentially a fake marriage in order to get that. Is that what they're thinking? Are they looking at that and thinking that is this just a kind of scam to try and get somebody into the country?
I think that may have been a worry in, first the immigration officer's mind and then subsequently the other decision maker, because it is, although these relationships, these mixed orientation relationships, as we call them, exist in society, maybe it's not something that an immigration officer was familiar with, and that's why it kind of raised a red flag for them. They may have thought it was just convenient, that someone would be in this sort of unique situation, that they may be trying to just sponsor their friend or something for permanent residence in Canada. But I think the couple has demonstrated time and time again that's not the case. They are in a genuine relationship, and this federal court decision is important in kind of creating more visibility for these types of relationships as well.
Right. I suppose most people, when they think of a relationship like this, it would be a situation where a couple had gotten married, and then at some point later on, one or other of them would have decided that, in reality, they were either bisexual or homosexual, or whatever. And that kind of status in the marriage had changed. But these were different in that, one of them was very obviously homosexual before they began.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just tell me how that kind of worked between them, because it is unusual, isn't it?
I wouldn't say it's unusual. I know, as you mentioned, this type of relationship presents itself differently in the case that you described, where, let's say, a couple gets together. On the face of it, they appear to be a heterosexual couple, and then later down the line, maybe one or both of them comes out as either bisexual or homosexual, as you've described. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you would call it unusual. Maybe it is unique because you don't see this type of relationship every day. But as I said, it's out there.
Right. But the bigger issue is that it caused this situation between them to be debated. And right. That is what's really throwing up the bigger picture for society, isn't it? Because estimates on this are that there could be 2 million such couples in the United States. I mean, couples where, one or other couple is one or other partner is homosexual or heterosexual or bi.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of numbers, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a lot.
So it's asking really the role of sex in the marriage, isn't it?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, specifically in the federal court decision, the judge, you know, kind of reiterated that sex is not the only relevant aspect when you're looking at a relationship, specifically in the legal context in determining whether a couple is conjugal or not. And I think the reason why, you know, the previous decision makers were found to have erred in their decisions in dismissing their application was that they focused, you know, inappropriately on just that one aspect of the relationship. If there were either perceived difficulties or, you know, difficulties in reality in their sexual relationship, that should not be the one and only factor that's looked at. You can look at other things as well.
Right.
At least legally.
I'm still a little bit confused. Are they kind of saying, though, that if there isn't sex in the marriage, that there's a question over the marriage?
I think that was the implication that the previous decision makers may have been, you know, kind of going down that road, that, you know, because that sexual element might not be there or because there might be difficulties with that, that, you know, that kind of makes their whole case crumble. But the federal court said that's not the case. You can look at other forms of relationships. You know, in the case of a couple that may have been together for years and years, and, you know, as people get older, they may not be as sexually active. So, you know, they would still meet the definition of a conjugal partnership. So, you know, I think the problem here that the federal court found when they agreed with our argument was that, or one of the problems at least, was that you can't focus just on the one aspect. There are more elements, you know, that make up a relationship.
Right. I'd say a lot of couples breathe a sigh of relief on that one.
Right.
So where does this leave the couple at the moment?
Well, this decision is not the end of the road for them. What this means in the Canadian immigration law context is that their case will go back to the previous decision maker. Not the same. It won't be before the same decision maker, but it'll be before the same, I guess, tribunal in Canada, a different decision maker, and they'll have to look at the appeal again. So we'll have to, you know, bring forth all that evidence once more to support their relationship. And hopefully at that stage, they'll take into consideration this federal court decision. And hopefully that'll play a part because it's quite important and it brings up a lot of important issues.
Right. And where are they now? They're in Canada. Are they living as a couple?
I can't really disclose that. It's confidential.
Okay.
Can't go too far beyond what's in the decision, you know, the confidentiality to protect their identities as well. So I apologize.
That's all right. Some of our listeners are very taken by this and they're saying things like, surely the state should have absolutely no say in sex. It's ridiculous that this never even been raised in court.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely.
Also another listener saying, does this mean two friends can just get married now if it's not necessarily about sex or romance? What defines the relationship as a marriage?
Well, you know, there are some differences between a marriage and a conjugal relationship. Specifically, you know, I won't get into the details of immigration law and how it defines a conjugal relationship, but there has to be a little bit more than just, you know, two friends decide they want to live together in Canada, let's say. There are a lot of elements, there are a lot of working parts involved in that, and you have to present, you know, substantive documentary evidence to support those other elements of the relationship. So, you know, they also look at, is the relationship perceived, you know, as a marriage-like relationship to the people around the couple in their lives, their friends, their family, that sort of thing. So it doesn't go quite as far as to say, you know, you can just sponsor your friend, you know.
Right. My parents always used to say that, well, they used to say between a man and a woman, because that was their definition, but, you know, that you should never get involved. You know, never raise the veil on what goes on between, you know, husband and wife, basically.
Right.
You can see where they were coming from. Very good. Athena, thanks very much. Lovely talking to you.
Great. Thank you so much for calling. It was a pleasure.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.